Hey everyone, welcome to the Alchemy of Podcast. Today, for our first episode, we have my incredible, amazing best friend, Red-Haired MILF. How was that?
Perfect. I was like, what do I say?
Thanks for having me.
What do people say on like talk shows? What do you...
I mean, I don't know. Let me
I think that sounded great and just like cut to me being not awkward and you're good.
Okay, let me give you a bit more. Let's see.
I'll just say like, "Hey everyone."
Yeah. Say "Hey everyone" and then I'll do a little bit about
What's going to happen?
Yeah. Okay, pretend I just said it. I can't fucking do it again. There's
no
way.
You don't have to do it again. No. All right. Hey, everyone.
See, so now I don't.
You're like, that's kind of dumb. But no. I don't want to tell her. Oh, shit. Nailed my intro, and then she can't even say, "Hey, everyone." I give up.
God. No.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to finish this wine.
Okay.
And I'm going to pull it together. Hey, everyone.
I'm super excited to be starting this podcast, which is more like an interview, but there are a lot of people that I look up to a ton, and a lot of the times they're kind of missed on the various podcasts that I see. So I figured, why not start my own? And with Red in particular, I really wanted to focus on creators that are doing basically all of the roles that we see within your usual erotic audio. Red is a writer, performer, and even edits audios. So we're going to get into all of that from beginning to however far we get in.
Before we're cut off.
I told Red that we'd keep this an hour, but we'll see. So yeah, thank you for being with me today, Red.
Thank you for having me, V. I was really honored that you wanted to have me on your podcast, and especially the first episode.
Aww. Yeah.
And it just made me think about when I first met you.
Oh, God.
Do you remember the first message?
I think, were we talking about that werewolf collab?
Yep, we were. And I was like, oh my God, I don't think I can pull that off, but I want to do something with you. And so we tried to make it work. And then we ended up, you know, doing a bunch of other different things together. But
yeah.
But yeah, that was the intro. And I was like, she likes my stuff. Nice.
Yeah.
And the rest is history.
I feel like one of our mutual friends said that we sounded similar.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, really? Because you get that a lot, right? You get that a lot in, quote unquote, this business of, oh, I think this person sounds like you. And you go and listen, you're like, do I sound like that?
Yeah. Yep.
And you have a lovely voice, but while we sound like... maybe we went to the same school. Maybe.
Yeah. That's what I think. We sound like we came from the same area.
Yeah.
But yeah, it always makes you do a double take when you hear someone say that you sound similar to someone else.
Yeah, and in the happiest circumstances, you end up being very good friends like us.
Yes.
So I think, you know, we can get started with the foundational question of what got you started in erotic audio. How did you find it?
I was listening to like a bunch of different podcasts last year, and one was called How Come? And it was with a comedian, and she had someone on who did erotic audios, and they played clips, and I was like, oh, okay, because I had read like, you know, smut books and stuff, mm-hmm. and that I was like, okay, well, I can multitask, and I could listen to that while I'm doing stuff. Mm-hmm. And then that led me to GWA, and after listening for a while, then I felt like I wanted to try writing stuff, and then eventually performing stuff. But so yeah, that's how I found GWA, and I have no writing experience. I did not like English or writing in school. I hated it.
Yeah.
I just feel like I'm not a very creative person, but apparently I just need something I want to write about. And then I get there. So
yeah, that's really funny. When I was conceptualizing this podcast, we talked about like different titles and stuff, and one of them was I Can Make That. Yeah. So I think that is kind of like a lot of people's entry points.
Yeah.
And I'll also say that you're very creative.
Oh, thank you. I feel like I am in general, I am a creative person, but I've never manifested that with writing. It's always been other more artistic, like drawing, sketching, painting, crafts, stuff like that.
That's really cool.
So the writing was a new skill that I learned. So yeah, it is fun learning that you can do something like that.
Let's talk about your writing for a bit.
Okay.
What about, so we can talk about, you know, filling scripts, improving, or writing for yourself, but I'd first like to talk about your writing for others, because you have several scripts up, way more than I have up. Let's see. 9. You have 9 scripts that are up.
I think when I'm recording less, I have more brain power for writing. Like the energy has to go somewhere. So if I'm recording, the energy is like, you know, used for that, and there's less for writing. So it's hard finding a balance. With that, because I do.
Do you prefer, like, do you find it easier to write for others than you do for yourself?
Oh, there's two sides. Like, I do find it easier to write for others because I don't have to say it, right? I know I'm not going to be saying this line, so, like, I can make it how I want it.
Mm-hmm.
If I say a line myself, I might not say it the way I want it to come out, and then I get frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Versus the way someone else says it, I'm not overanalyzing that. Like, I enjoy it, their take on it versus me. I used to do like 4 or 5 lines over of the same, or I used to do 4 or 5 redos of the same line, and they all sounded the same when I listened back, and I still couldn't choose. So I've gotten past that. I don't do it 4 or 5 times, but I still do it plenty to make myself crazy.
Yeah. We'll get into that a bit.
So, yeah. So for writing wise, I do think it's easier to get scripts out for other people.
Yeah. And you've done mainly M for F as far as public offers.
Yeah.
Do you do that because you are writing to see more of what you'd like, or is it more of a challenge to just write for what you'd typically be listening to?
Yeah, so it's more like I write what I would like to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I've done like request fills that are not necessarily like something I would have put on my list by myself, but I usually find them interesting enough to want to fill it, obviously, to put my energy into. But then kind of it comes down to the amount of time I have to listen to fills. And I do listen to a lot of my friends' audios, and I enjoy that. But yeah, my time is more limited now, so I have to consolidate.
I feel like, yeah, I feel like that's kind of the nature of the beast. Once you start creating, you're your most active listening when you're just starting out. At least I feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're listening to people, you're like trying to discover voices that you might really like. And yeah. then you sort of kind of get your regulars.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, okay, this is good.
Hey, this is plenty of people to like, I have more audio saved than I will ever have time to listen to. And so, yeah, at some point you just can't keep adding to that. exactly. You have to, in the beginning, it's a lot of discovery.
I miss that.
Which is great because, yeah, you find stuff like there are things that I had no idea I would find interesting. But because a performer I liked did it, I was like, well, I like them. I'm going to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, oh, okay. That's on the list now. And then, you know, then it snowballs from there. So
speaking of snowballing,
I did not even set that up. Yeah.
You've got a great script called Just a Taste. And what I love about your scripts is that so many of them are, I mean, I don't want to put them all under the umbrella of slice of life, but I do feel like there is that element of reality to them. And sometimes that real sort of scene is so hard to find. Like there's so much amazing content on, Audible and audio and et cetera. But, sometimes you just want that nice, hey.
Familiar.
Yeah. So talk to me about Just a Taste and, the inspiration behind that and just all of that. Because there are tags that I have been seeing a bit more lately, but not as much. Come tasting, snowballing, mm-hmm. come play. I've been seeing come play pop up a bit more.
Yes, I put the assortment in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, first I want to say thank you. It's like a huge compliment that my scripts have that slice of life. Because I don't tag that, but I do think that a lot of my scripts kind of have that vibe. Mm-hmm. Because I do like the immersive, I can picture myself in it
mm-hmm.
Style versus, sometimes I do just want porn. That's it.
For sure.
But I relate a lot to that slice of life stuff. And so that's what comes easy. It's less of a struggle. So for Just a Taste, that was one where it took me a little while to decide that I wanted to actually write that and post it because Come Play was one that I was a new discovery from listening to an audio. And I was like, I don't even know if that one had it tagged because for a while I was trying to figure out what it was called. And it was the performer was going down on the listener after a cream pie.
Mm.
And I was like, I had no idea I would want that. And I wanted to hear more of it. But when I was searching, I just wasn't finding stuff. Or when I did find stuff, it was always kind of like a brief mention or heavy
FDOM forcing people to go down on them after a cream pie. And that wasn't the mood I wanted, you know?
Mm-hmm. I wanted loving come play, I guess.
Yeah.
And so that one was, I just wasn't finding exactly what I was looking for. So I was like, okay, let me see if I can do this. And I thought that was a really fun, playful one, where it gave the listener an opportunity to feel accepted by their partner, not have to like hide something, and be excited that they wanted to try it too. So that's kind of the premise.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of, there's a lot of like, the trope, like, oh, I saw your search history, or you catch them watching porn and you see, oh, I didn't know you liked that kind of porn, that kind of thing. So that was kind of like the opener. The funny thing too was like me trying to figure out what to tag it.
How did you figure like, it out?
Is it called? It was just me researching stuff. You know, because you look up definitions of things. Okay, so recently, let's say I was looking up like rimming, because I'm like, I feel like when I see rimming tagged, I am assuming it's a female rimming a guy, licking his ass. But it's for both, but I feel like you don't see it tagged the same for female versus male.
Yeah.
And what I would see a lot in porn, if I were looking at snowballing or come play or come tasting, was like a threesome where there was another female, or come swapping. And it wasn't so much the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Just going down on the female after. And so I still am not really sure. when I wrote it and I posted it, you know, I got comments like snowballing, what, like people were like, oh, okay, you know, now I know what it is.
Yeah.
You know, so I think there's a lot of like trying to figure out the best way to reach people and explain what's in the audio.
I do feel like oftentimes, even for me, you know, every now and then I will find a tag and I'll see it and I'll be like, oh, that's like, it finally clicks in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And this script was one of them. Now, when you talked about, you know, hesitation with posting it, why do you think you felt that?
It's like, because I see people posting stuff, and they have like disclaimers, like, these are not my views, this is just my script. Like, and okay, I'm like, I don't put that because, this most of what I write is just for me, and like things I think people will want to hear. I imagine other people feel the same, but I'm like, people have to know this is what I would like to hear. I'm going to have to listen to this. They know. So that was, it was kind of like, I just felt exposed, you know, showing us just a different thing that, and especially because I just didn't see it very much.
Yeah.
So it didn't seem like, you know, you see FDOM all over and you're like, oh, people love it. And like, because it was such a struggle for me to find come play audios that I wanted to listen to, I was like, well, people don't love it. It's not out there. But, you know, so little changes to see, baby steps. So that was the biggest thing, is just like, I just felt like I was opening up more personally for a script like that, where it's not as widely offered and seen.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's really you know, you often hear on these podcasts, like, you know, our work is not our kinks and stuff like that. But sometimes they are. Like,
yeah. Right. And I could have just exposed myself and people been like, oh, that's why she wrote it. But, you know.
Yeah. Like, we but both.
It's you. I want to be honest.
Thank you. You know, I felt like that when we both worked on that Valentine's Day project. You know, I worked with Honey Rabbit JWA, and I wasn't writing that script for him. I mean, in a sense, I kind of was. But really, I had this idea of just like, you know, I work really hard. You know, I don't mean to like make this about me, but I, you know,
you do work really hard.
We all work really hard. But you know, I was just like, I don't really see a lot of like loving, possessive, let me take care of you because, you know, you work so hard. Like at the time, mm-hmm. I hadn't seen that. And I was like, that's what I want for Valentine's Day, is for someone to make me stop working.
Yeah.
And Honey's a very good friend, and he typically does Ramble Faps. And I was like, I think he can do this. I think he can do this, Phil. And he did a wonderful job.
Mm-hmm, he did.
And then I was like, well, actually, I think I want to make this like a public offer. Like I was going back and forth of like, do I make this a public offer? Do I not make it a public offer? And I just wanted to hear more of it. And I've gotten like all of the Phils have been incredible. But I remember yours. I remember your script and your audio. One, because, you know, I will absolutely say that I am 100% a Texan Guy fangirl. Like, yes. He's one of the first people that I ever listened to. And he's so sweet and just a mm-hmm. funny guy and makes such great content. But that At Your Mercy was so good. So good.
That one, I felt really good about that script. It was so fun to do a switchy script. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that was my first. I don't think I've written another switchy one. So that in itself was like a really fun project and task. And knowing his style helped me with that one. And I offered it publicly too, because it was so fun.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of my longer scripts, even for myself. It was a little bit over 1,800 words, and I usually do like 1,200 to 1,500 words for my script, for my scripts. And when I listened to the fill, which was 50 minutes, it became something new. It wasn't just my script. It was something different. And seeing it transformed into something different just made me want to hear other versions and see what else people can do with it. And that's the fun of I think that's a really fun part of script writing, is you can hear the same script so many times and still get something new out of everyone. And yeah, that was a really fun project, the big collab, and having all those fun date nights was very motivating.
Mm-hmm.
For Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Collabs are fun.
A lot of good. Yeah.
We've done some collabs.
Yes. We have, and they've all been awesome.
Thank you. I agree.
Yeah.
Which, you know, take that as you will, listener, but we should talk about collabing. I think that because, you know, you've collabed with several people. And I mean, there's obviously like the logistical aspect of it, like, you know, do you live record? Do you, you know, does one of you record one piece and then the other person record the other piece while they're listening to the first person? You know, there's recording completely separate and then leaving it up to the editor. Tell me about your experiences with collabing and, you know, what do you love about it? What do you not love about it? And do you want to do more of it?
So, yes, always more. I have like November booked with collabs.
That's good.
And I mean, we're booked through the end of the year. Me and you. So,
yep.
You don't get away from me yet. The one thing I don't like about collabs is having someone have to work around me, because I just don't want to ever be holding up a project. I don't ever want to be making someone's schedule harder.
Mm-hmm.
So me as like a people pleaser, that aspect always kind of makes me shy away because I'm not always available. And my recording especially is limited. So when I have my recording days, it's like, we got to get this scheduled, and mm-hmm. I feel bad doing that to people. So that's usually my biggest limitation and negative about collabs. Writing collabs is totally different too, because it's like, you know, you share a Google Doc or something
mm-hmm.
and you go back and forth, and it seems so pieced together when you do that, but it's like, it's not always feasible to sit down and write with someone. Our collabs that we've written together, I think, have come out so good because we sit down and go through them before we record. And we usually do that a few times before.
Yeah.
So I think they're just really cohesive that way. But to do that when you're doing that with so many different people, you know, if you're signing up for different projects, that's a lot of time, and it's hard to do that.
Yeah. I feel like we hold each other accountable to that aspect, yeah, though, of like going through the script.
Well, and I think that's like a comfort level.
Mm-hmm.
I'm comfortable with you. I know you'll like tell me like, no, we got to get to this, and you'll be like, no, okay, we got, you know, and I'll do the same, like, hey, do you think we should get to this for, you know, it's kind of like this, it's a give and take
mm-hmm.
that I don't necessarily feel comfortable telling someone else that I'm not talking to on a daily basis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, we got to get to this. Or, you know, how's your schedule looking? It's more, ours is a lot of like friendship based, I think, versus professional collab, you know, type of relationship.
Yeah. And I feel like that's really important, honestly. Like, yeah. The longer I do this, the less likely it is that I will, like, I'm always open to collab. Like, I never get asked to collab. Like, it doesn't fucking happen. But, you know, if I need to do a collab, or if I see a script that I'm like, oh, that looks interesting, mm-hmm. immediately I have a voice in my head. And more often than not, it's you. And I think that, you know, having chemistry with your partner is extremely important. I don't know if it's a tangible thing.
It's so the chemistry is part of it. Because I remember when we first live recorded, I was worried because I had only live recorded one other time, and it was with a friend. So I had felt really comfortable with her. Mm-hmm. And we weren't as close when we first started with mm-hmm, our first collab. Mm-hmm. And so I was like so nervous, and you made me just feel really at ease. And after that, I was like, okay, this doesn't have to be hard. It can be easy like that. Like, and it will, you know, I mean, it's never really easy, but it feels stress-free for us. I don't offer to live record with many people. So that's it's definitely a comfort level. For me,
it's hard, right? Because you're like,
right? You literally have to be okay pretending, orgasming, whatever, with someone just sitting there, like, yeah, do it. That sounds good. Or, no, hold on, I'm gonna retake that. Like, sorry, that blowjob sound was not great. Can you just like hold on a second while I like clean off my toy? I mean, it just Yeah, I'm not okay saying that to everyone. I think with for you with collabs, I worry if I don't know. I guess I'm like, I feel like if I ask someone to collab, like, I'm just like, oh gosh, what if they don't want to and they feel obligated, or, you know, like, I have too many, I'm too anxious. Like, this just, I'm like, they're going to feel pressured. And and then, like, and we have, I mean, just like, just our rapport, it's like, okay, you know, you're going to post this one, I'm going to post this one. You're going to, you know, it's this, but, you know, but if you're collabing with someone and you're like, this might be your only collab, how do you, like, well, I should do it or you should do it. It feels awkward. Like, yeah. I was wanting to ask, do I say I'm going to post it? Because there's all these factors. And then editing, if you ask someone to collab, do you automatically get, are you automatically on the hook for editing? You know, because it's just, it's not everyone's capable of doing collabs, depending on how many people. So yeah, there's just the logistics of it. But I will say, for us, chemistry is a big part of it. But I always think of, like, when Vox talked about how our voices work well together, and I don't remember even what terms he used. It was like way more technical than my brain can handle. But it was something about, like, the pitch or the tone or something. And we don't fight for the center stage. There's like this balance. And I'm like, okay, that's cool.
Vox. Yeah, thank you, Vox.
God. That was for a tent one, I think, right? That was specifically.
Probably.
He was talking about, because he edited that one.
He edited that one, but I think he also listened to the MILF one that we did for Fluff, which you edited, which was so great.
That was like my, yeah, that was a project for me that I had a lot of fun with, because I still don't think I'm a great editor. I'm getting more practice, right? So that was fun, because it is neat trying things, and having our live record made it a lot easier than I've done in the past. But yeah, that was, but then also, you know, it's like, I edited that one, but you're sending me like, I think the sound effect is good. I think we should do this. Like, you were there every step of the way for that. And that's kind of how you are for all the projects, which is why I like it.
I mean, that's, yeah, again, get a good collab partner. Like, it's,
yeah,
I don't know.
I've collabed with other people, and we're like, I've been like, hey, do you guys have these sound effects? You know, like, yeah, you want to be a good partner.
Yeah, and that's not, you know, knocking anybody. Everyone has different working styles.
Yeah.
It's just when you find someone that complements your working style, and apparently the pitch and the tone and all of that.
Yeah, exactly.
It works. And, you know, you find great scripts, or you write great scripts. Like, when we wrote that that camping collab, we should probably start saying, like, titles and stuff. I'll add the audios to the body of the post. Yeah. What is it? Sharing you on our steamy camping trip or something.
Oh, that was the fun one that we ran through. I don't even know. I would guess we went through 50 names before we sealed the deal.
Even then, we weren't like 100% happy about it. We were like, right, we've gone through
this is
too
the best
many.
One. We've run out of options.
But I remember, like, that took us a while, that writing, because I think I sent, I don't know, maybe 6 lines of, like, me when I was in the hot spring with the listener.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know what else to put. And you wrote a ton, which was great. And then I wrote a little more. And then even right before we live recorded, like, for a full hour, we went through mm-hmm. that script, like line by line, yeah. started adding more sex. Like, I was like, okay, you know, you do this part, I'll do this part. And then like we switched and then we were like, okay, yeah. all right, let's record.
Yeah. And that, I remember we talked about like next time we need to sit there, we're going to record that part too, because it was like such a fun process. I remember, you know, just reading lines back and forth, kind of like, no, that doesn't sound good. Mm-hmm. Say it again. No, that doesn't sound good. Okay, what word do we need here? And we're like, we need to do that. I don't even think we did that on the subsequent collabs we've done, but we should.
We should. Maybe we'll do that for the Christmas one.
Yeah. The holiday. It'll be a holiday bonus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea. Okay. All right. Let's get into improv, because you've done some improv.
Yeah.
I guess I've technically done one improv, but I'm not going to count it.
Because it was
like a 4-minute pillow talk audio. It's not a thing. Tell me, yeah, like the mindset between improvising versus filling a script versus filling like your own script. What do you love about, or which one's your favorite?
Okay.
And why? And all of those things. Walk me through those mindsets.
Okay. So let's start with the script fill, because that's like, to me, on the list of effort, that is usually the easiest, because I have not had to spend any time beforehand
mm-hmm.
writing. I am just reading. And I usually read a script a few times before
mm-hmm.
I decide fully if I'm going to do it. I read it for any like things that I might get hung up on that might not sound smooth if I'm saying it, because I know how, you know, how I talk and perform. Mm-hmm. And then I look for how much I have to edit, the items I'm going to need for recording, things like that. That's like, nothing is low effort, but if I'm on like a I don't want to think kind of day, but I want to get something recorded and I'm in a certain mood, I'll go for a script fill, because mentally it's less work for me.
Yeah.
Then it's the script that I wrote, which is a lot more work beforehand. And then I'll be like overanalyzing it, you know,
mm-hmm.
'cause I'm gonna have to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, why did I put so many freaking sound effects in this? I know I'm going to have to edit this. Why did I do that? That's what I did with Stacey's mom.
Yeah.
I was like, why did I freaking put beer bottle opening, clinking? What is wrong with me? And it was fun. I liked the way it turned out. But I was mad at myself the whole time I was editing. And so that's like the next one. I like knowing what I'm going to say beforehand, because I know I'm not going to like stumble.
Mm-hmm.
And then improv, the first time I did an improv, it was because I wanted to record really bad. I was like in the mood to record, and I just didn't have something lined up that I felt like I was in the mood for.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm really feeling kind of, I think I want to say the first improv I did was like a sleepy improv. And I was like, I really feel like I just want to kind of lay and like go through a scenario. And that's what I did. And those are the easiest to record, because I'm not looking at anything. It's just like, I'm just running through what comes naturally in my head. But editing improv, if I end up messing up a lot, is a pain, because I don't remember afterwards exactly what the flow was mm-hmm. going to be. So, and I don't like editing. So really, I do try to make things easier to edit if I can. So I probably would do more improv if I knew editing, if I could get down editing a little faster. I'm not there yet, but maybe someday.
I actually didn't realize that you – sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. But so, yeah, that recording-wise, I love improv because it feels really natural to me. I just am
the character I want to be. And usually I've thought about it beforehand a few times, kind of run through the scene, but I don't come up with all the dialogue until I'm in the moment doing it.
I didn't realize that you edited Stacey's mom. For some reason, I thought that was Vox.
Did he? He might have like fixed it up.
Yeah, it may have been one of those.
He baited several of my audios and helped me after with like better sound effect levels and quality.
Vox is amazing.
So he, I know. I'm always like, I'm like, just because you offered a beta listen and you know you can improve it, doesn't mean you have to. Like, I feel bad that you're spending more time. You already spent all this time listening to it, and then you're going to spend hours more helping me. But, I mean, it always turns out amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that one. And I'm going to look at my posts and make sure I'm – yeah.
And it's fun for him. It's fun for Vox.
Yeah.
Editing.
Yeah. Okay, so I didn't tag him on that one. So I think that one – so this – he made me that little – that I didn't share because I'm too paranoid about copyright music stuff, but it was so awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
But I shared that privately. Mm-hmm, where I wish the world could hear that, because it really is amazing. But I'm too paranoid that like Stacey's mom, it's the Fountains of Wayne, am I saying, oh my god,
yeah, Fountains of Wayne.
Wayne, yeah, are gonna be like, "Hey, red-haired MILF, I'm gonna see you." No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, so, but yeah, that I listened to that trailer a bunch, or the teaser.
Yeah,
but yeah, so that one, it was like at that point I was being better about organizing my sound effects. So like I would do a folder for each audio and gather all the sound effects in advance that I needed. But then like I try to do that. I don't always do that, but I started to try to do that for sound effect heavy ones, because I found myself when I was editing, if I had to stop and search for a sound effect, it was like slowing me down a lot, versus I'm just in the mood to like listen to a few different versions of stuff, what sounds good, and then I just save it, put it all aside. And then sometimes I would do that like while I'm doing other things, and then I would sit down and edit so I wouldn't prolong the time I was in the program editing.
You're so much better at that than I am. I am always I have so many sound effects, and I will absolutely be on like Zapsplat and be like listening to 8 different zipper noises, like,
right, this one's a tenth of a second faster than this one, which one do I use? Wait, I like this one, but I wish it was just a little bit softer. Okay, can I tweak that? Because I've done that too, where I have a sound effect, I'm like, this is almost right. Yep. I'm sitting there editing a stupid kind of like one sound effect, one, it's 0.3 seconds in this audio, no one else will literally notice, but I'm wasting 20 minutes on this stupid sound.
That's a, oh, yeah. I do the same thing. I do the same exact thing.
Because, it's like, that's what, but with your audios, the attention to detail, it's like just always the best of the best.
Oh my God, no. So,
yes.
We're not.
You don't get to cut that out, no. But it's attention to detail. There's
Okay, okay. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about you.
Whatever. Oh.
Do you have works that you're proud of, that you're like, this is incredibly detailed, and like this is my, if I had to put things on like my trophy wall of porndom, you know, this is what would be there?
Yes, I do have some, yeah. Stacey's mom is one of my favorite audios.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like, I still hear the song all the time. And the first time I heard it after being on GWA, I was like, this is an audio.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to do it. And then it just kind of all came together how I envisioned it, which doesn't always happen. Like, there's plenty of audios I have where I'm like, I pictured it going a different way, but I still like it. It's just not that like 100% like, oh yes, that's it. And so I think like just Stacey's mom from like start to finish, concept to audio, I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And like, I was so proud of myself for working all the lyrics into the audio that I did. And I still was like, oh, I wanted to get a few more in there, but there are certain things that I couldn't. I was like, I cannot say that with a straight face. So I just can't get that in the audio.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that one, I love that one. And I'll always go back to that as like a pat myself on the back one. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, recently I'm going to blank on all the names. Do you like my new glasses, Daddy?
Mm-hmm.
That was a really fun one because I just like blowjob audios. We talked about this. Editing is so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not having to listen to all the pacing of everything and I don't, those are more fun for me to record. It's definitely like, okay, I can just like zone out. I can be in the moment and like not worry about how I'm sounding.
Mm-hmm.
And that one I just had a lot of fun with, like, just with the scenario. And I don't think there's enough glasses appreciation. So I had to throw that in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my come play in there, and you know, so that was a fun one. Those are two like that stand out right now.
Okay.
And there's so many. I mean, so many amazing script fills. Like, I love the scripts. I'm not saying I'm amazing, but like that I love the scripts.
You are amazing.
thank you. That's not what I was going for, but thank you. I like script fills a lot because I feel like I can really be whatever character I want without any pressure. Like when I write my own script and I'm being, you know, some different character that I'm used to, it's still like coming from me. Mm-hmm. And I feel self-conscious about that versus, well, someone else wrote that line. I can like say whatever dirty things I want because they wrote it for me. So
it's in the script.
Them. They did it. It's great. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's the fun thing about script fills is I feel like I can really be free with those.
When you think about you when you started making audios versus now, you know, are there things that you were like on day one, you were just like, oh, I'll never be able to do this thing, but you've done it?
Oh, well, the very first thing that happened with was FDOM. Mm. I was like, this is like, no one is going to believe this. This is, you know, but what I've heard is like the soft, sweet
Mommy Dom MILF. Yeah.
Yes. It's people are drawn to that. And I like the softness. And so I'm like, I could be into this like soft, caring, sweet FDOM. I've done, you know, harsher ones, more firm ones. I like the soft ones the most, but it was kind of like I just didn't think I fit that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's the draw is like it's a different style, not even style. It's not the norm, I guess. I feel like
it's not what's commercialized. It's not what's advertised as FDOM. Like I feel like even when I, you know, it's like the dominatrix in the leather and the whip and the heels and they're being stepped on, which is great. You know, that like that's fantastic, but I'm the same way. Like when I saw
it's not the black and white FDOM.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Exactly. There's so many shades of gray in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that because it was the same. I saw that, well, I have to be this really domineering person and I'm not. And then it also helped me kind of realize that, like, okay, I'm switchier than I thought. Mm-hmm. Because this appeals to me. And I didn't, I didn't think that was in the range, you know?
Yeah.
So that was the first, like, I don't think I can do this. And then I'm like, oh, I can. And I like it. So.
Would you say that it was a script that opened that up to you?
Yeah.
You don't have definitely. To say the script, but you can if you want.
I don't remember, honestly, which one was my first Dom script. Because, like, my sweet spot for a long time was just, like, girlfriend experience. I'm like, I'll be the girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And
people love that.
That one, yeah, that's a fan favorite. and yeah, I don't know. But I like being able to try different things. The other thing I didn't think I would ever do was, like, a monster girl.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not like into, like, fantasy movies or fantasy, like, I don't know. I mean, I read stuff,
mm-hmm.
but that's not like, I'm not like super big into it. So I just was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to capture the character.
Yeah.
If I can't, like, relate to it, mm-hmm. Necessarily, but, yeah, my first monster girl was, Fluff's Hellhound.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, this is just written in a way that I was like, I can do this. And I'm not like I'm not forcing it.
Mm-hmm.
So it opened the door to, like, okay, maybe I can try. Maybe I can branch out a little bit. Cause that was good. I did that well. You know, like, I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was well received too. Like, and again, that was same thing. I was like, well, I just don't think my voice is like a hellhound voice. Like, if I'm supposed to be this strong, aggressive, you know, character that's in heat, I'm like, I don't know if I can do that. But, like, in, you know, when it's written well for you and you can just go with the flow, then it's like, okay. And then you kind of can adapt, and make that work for other things. So Monster Girl is another one that, and now I've done that several times.
Yeah.
And it's been fun. I'm I'm just always worried that people are going to be like, no, that didn't fit. You didn't, you know, you're not a hellhound.
I mean, so far you've been a hellhound, what, 3 times now?
Yeah, now 3 times, so.
Yes, you definitely can be a hellhound. And I mean, you know, back to the beginning of this podcast, we were talking about that werewolf script by LSI.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I think we both said to each other, and this is like very, 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 very beginning of, you know, creating together and mm-hmm. just creating in general. And I think what stopped us from filling it was, I don't know if I can growl.
Yes. Yeah. Which, like, I tried to growl for the Hellhound script, and I have bloopers of me trying to growl, failed growling, hurting my throat, trying to watch videos of how to growl. I was like, it's just not going to happen. That's just not happening. So, yeah, I still can't growl. I've tried. That one has not made it yet. But, yeah, knowing how well you can do a script, or how, you know, doing it justice for yourself and for the writer, you want to be able to feel good about it. And that, and yeah, so we were like, we want to work together. Maybe this isn't it right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll get there. Maybe we'll growl at some point.
Maybe we'll growl at some point. Maybe we'll see. Maybe. Okay. And so, in addition to, you know, where you started, what you've tackled, where do you think you're going to go next? Like, what's next for Red?
Well, yes, I was looking at my like list of what I have on the docket. I have a bunch of collabs coming up that I'm excited about because it's been a while since I did a collab because just like my schedule's been crazy. I think everyone's schedule's been crazy lately.
For sure.
It's been kind of like there haven't been the like, oh, let's do this right now. It's like, okay, well, let's do it next month because that's when we have openings. And like, make sure to remind me next month that we're not dropping it. Script-wise, I have so many like started and abandoned scripts, but like my current one that I'm like, I really think have been like thinking through in my head. And that tends to be like when I write a script and I have a lot of fun with it, it's because it's been simmering for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I sit down to actually write, it just kind of pours out. And like, that's how my first script was. And then my second script was like, oh, this is way harder because I hadn't been thinking about it for so long.
Yep.
And I had to work more. And I was like, well, that sucks. I sat down and like wrote the first one in a couple days. And then this one, you know, and then subsequent scripts will take weeks, months, you know, I'll have them started. I have a cheerleader collab I started like last year that I just have like a few opening lines and that's it. And I'm like, I'll get to it and we'll see. But the one that's in my mind right now is like a post-workout kind of sweaty romp where the listener – the listener it just gets done working out and they feel like, oh, they're sweaty, they're gross, but their partner thinks they're like super hot right now, they're flushed, they're glowing, you know, when you're after you work out you feel gross. I think
definitely feel gross.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I feel gross, salty, sweaty. But when you look at someone else who worked out, like, you don't usually think that, but, and especially a partner.
Yeah.
And so I want to capture that feeling of, like, I don't care that you're sweaty. This is happening. And so that's my next script idea.
That's exciting. I love it. Okay.
Hopefully I'll get to that one in the near future.
For sure.
Yeah.
This is really fun, learning your process, hearing all your thoughts.
All my crazy thoughts. After a while, it was me not being as nervous to talk about everything. And then it just felt like a fun conversation.
Do you have any last minute plugs? You wanna shout out any creators that you are a fan of or have inspired you?
So I think the biggest thing, the biggest person that I need to plug, is that a weird thing to say? Yeah, that's weird. The main person that I owe a lot of this to, re-script writing, is LSI, because I put out a feedback request on Script Guild and he messaged me and said, I have this writing server, do you want to join it? And I was like, I knew that he was a big writer and I was like, this person has faith in me to invite me into this server.
Aww.
And it just made me feel really grateful to have someone like take a chance. And that really sealed the deal. And here I am, scripts later. and it was such a great environment. Very welcoming. And the community itself is great, but having people like right there to relate to to offer wisdom of like, hey, I've been there, I've done that. These are some tips, and to like just validate you and be like, this is good. Like to have a writer who has all these script fills, writes other places, so much writing, like appreciate your work. It was like just really affirming, and I'm very grateful for that. So that was my introduction into just how wonderful the community could be. So,
LSI said hi, by the way.
Hi.
I think we can end it there. I'm gonna say a few things. You know, I started saying at the beginning that I wanted to do this podcast because I wanted to highlight people that I admire, and I absolutely admire you. I could not put out the level of content that I do without you. Like that is absolutely, I believe that 100%, because knowing that I have you there to like listen to my ridiculous stuff and to like bounce ideas off of you and be like, is this fucking stupid? I hate this.
Just ship it.
Like to have you there is, you know, I'm grateful all the time that I have you. Uh-huh. So thank you for being my first guest. Thank you for encouraging me to even do the podcast. And I look forward to us and our second annual Christmas collab.
Yes, I know. That is going to be really fun. And you're going to try to make me cry. I feel like that was the goal.
No!
Okay, I'm gonna hold it together. I feel the same. I bounce so much off of you, and it never feels like I'm a burden, which I feel like I would be a burden to anyone else if they had to listen to my nonsense that I send to you, like 20 different titles that I send to you. When I'm trying to be helpful, and instead I'm just joking, laughing to myself while I'm typing these ridiculous titles that I'm suggesting. And you push me to do anything I'm inspired to do. Like, you're like, yes, do it.
Hell yeah.
If you do it, it's going to be amazing. And So you're that for me too. Aww. And thank you.
Oh
no. No. No, it's not gonna happen. Ooh, serenity now.
Okay. Well, I love you, and
I love you too.
I think this is good. This is good. Maybe we tag it with heartwarming ending.
Yes. Yeah. Grab some tissues. And we like, I'm actually impressed. We're like 120. I was like, we're going to be tight with an hour with how much we just mess around. I mean, our recording sessions, you know, we're like, okay, we got to get this done. And we're 45 minutes before we even press record. So I'm impressed with us. We did good.
Yeah. Good. Okay. All right. Well, if you're listening, thank you. We're going to do this again. And I don't know who our next guest will be, but the first guest is Red, and I'm very, very grateful. So, we'll both say goodbye. Maybe we'll figure out a formal intro one of these days. But thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.